Will you pray with me, please? Most gracious, merciful God, by your living Spirit, may a living word be received in our hearts and lived by all we are and all we can do in reply to your grace. Amen. She walks into a room where the men are eating a meal that she had helped her sister prepare. One of the men at table is her brother, who strangely enough was recently dead and had been brought back to life by Jesus, who is also at this table. The brother's name is Lazarus. The sister in the kitchen is Martha. And the woman who is now interrupting the meal, her name is Mary, Mary of Bethany. And this little family, two sisters and a brother, are very close to Jesus. They love him, and clearly he loves them. Mary holds in her hands a kind of elegant jar made of alabaster. Without a word, she goes to Jesus, kneels, opens the vessel, and begins slowly to pour a liquid onto his feet. It is an exquisite perfume called nard, imported from India, very expensive, and in that jar, she's got a pound of it. It's like a gallon of Chanel No. 5. And in the currency of that time and place, get this, this would cost almost a year's salary. And she keeps pouring it slowly out onto his feet. This powerful fragrance fills up the whole house, and she tilts the jar further and pours more and more onto his feet till every drop has fallen and the jar is empty and there are $1,000 puddles on the floor. And then of all things, she loosens her long hair and begins to wipe the perfume from his feet. What is this? This is one person's way of expressing something immensely too great for words. She has resorted now then to extravagance, an astounding gesture entirely and beautifully unnecessary, because for her it is necessary to express her unspeakable love in a way that signifies the pouring out of every ounce of herself. What leads her to do such a thing? Her knowledge that he is on his way to terrible suffering and death. In just 5 days, he will be beaten, scourged, laughed at, spit on, bloodied half to death, and in public spectacle, be torturously killed. Somehow she knows that he means to embrace this. Surely this is not necessary. If he wants to communicate the love of God, forgiveness, welcome, liberation, oneness, peace, he could declare it, couldn't he? But no, he means to reveal the breaking of God's heart. Divine love bearing human cruelty and pain. He means to embody the dying of God for love's sake and the power of that love to overthrow death. He will pour out every ounce of himself for love's sake. She understands because she has been listening to him. And it means the world to him. And recognizing her mind tells everyone in the room that her outpoured gift is for his burial. I wonder if as she pours and anoints him in this way, there were tears in his eyes. Are we to take this as some kind of example for us? Is there something in what Mary of Bethany does that we are to follow her in? I think so, yes. Not, I hope, spilling gallons of Chanel No. 5 on somebody's feet. That was her gift, not ours. If we were to realize that there is some kind of equivalent for us, what might it be for you, or for me, or for you? If we were to pour ourselves out in the seeking of better justice for vulnerable people, and to do it not from some well-managed little bits of obligation, but giving all we can with wholehearted passion, this would be the alabaster jar of our lives poured out, lavished out for Christ's sake, our way of echoing God's outpoured love for us all. You could do something similar, believe it or not, in your personal life of prayer and devotion, pouring out your whole self. You could do the same with great initiatives in friendship, old and new. You could do this in what kind of parent or partner you choose to be, or in what you do with your vocation. It matters less what it is that we give ourselves wholly to than the way we give it. We do not give what's ours to give with a managing eye, watching. Self-consciously, what we bring to give. Instead, we give with all our grateful hearts, creatively, profusely, because our love isn't given in thimbles full. Our love is like rivers. We live in the beauty of passion. And what is a life without passion? To be clear, by passion I do not mean excitement or the drama or the self-involvement that people seem to mean these days when half of them are saying, "I'm a passionate person." I mean something more like the passion of Jesus. Wide open, vulnerable, the surrender of the self, with single-minded intent, lifted up, swept away in God's loving intent for all the world and giving ourselves entirely to that sweet purpose. If you do, you can expect some criticism. There was Mary giving her most beautiful gift, and Judas Iscariot mansplained to her, and everybody else, that was not the best gift. We could have sold it for a boatload of money to feed the poor. What a waste, you sentimental, emotional woman. And Jesus looks at him and says, "Leave her alone." Don't you love that line? Leave her alone. Who would dare to criticize somebody for giving the best that they have to give? Oh, that's not very good. It's not really valuable. That's coloring outside the lines. It's a pitiful offering, really. It's dumb. Leave them alone. Learn something from people who risk more than you risk. People who are freer and more generous than you are, or whose faith is more expressive than yours. Look to your own life and to your own giving with passion. Of course, one of the reasons that some of us are hesitant to give so freely is that we are criticizing ourselves. Most of you have an inner Judas. I do. Who warns against our being too generous, tells us not to risk too much, belittles what we might want to offer. Jesus says to your inner critic, leave it alone. Get off your own back. For love's sake, let it go and give all that's yours to give. Go on and pour it all out for love's sake, for Christ's sake. And yes, often it will be imperfect. You let your love go beyond the necessary, and it can get a little sloppy. Didn't Mary have to come back and mop up all that perfume? But unnecessarily generous expressions of our love turn out to be what makes life finally worth living. A man I knew and loved, and who has long now been dead, said this: I can imagine nothing better than arriving at the end of my days and turning to look back over my life and to say with a solid smile, I'm glad I did that. You know what Jesus did with Mary's extravagant gift. Just 5 evenings later, as she had done, he hosted a meal. And as she had done, he interrupted the occasion and went to each guest and knelt and poured on their feet his gift of love for them, then wiped them cleansed anew. I would like to think that she was there, also freshly cleansed by him, and grateful to see how he had taken her gift to him and multiplied it for so many others. And we are gathered to this table now, the table at which he spoke of the outpouring of his life for all the world, and enacted it in bread and wine. Such astounding gift we receive in awe and wonder, and perhaps, too, we reconsider today how we might pour out every ounce of ourselves. He would find it beautiful and multiply it to others, and would make the world more beautifully fragrant, in part because we said yes.